Look at this right here. Here it is. Here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about sexual purity. I want to talk about sexual purity. We're going to talk about sex today. So you can go ahead and get your giggles out now. All right. Here's what the Bible says. I want you to listen very carefully. Put to death murder, kill, slay, completely and totally obliterate from your life whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Here it is. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Don't miss the last phrase. I didn't write this. This is what God says. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Now let me start with a story about the Zirka bird. You probably have never heard of the Zirka bird. There was a young man who wanted to get his mother a gift for her birthday, and he decided to get for her a Zirka bird. The Zirka bird is a very rare and a very unique and a very different type of bird. It's similar to a parakeet, where it can talk and sing and quote the alphabet. Very, very distinct bird that he searched high and low and finally found this bird to give as a gift for his mother. And so he purchased the bird, and as an element of surprise, he went to his mother's house before she came home, left the bird on the porch covered in a black cloth so that there would be an element of surprise. He went through highs and lows to get this pet bird, left it at the doorstep, went back to his home, called his mother on the phone and said, "Hey, Mom, happy birthday. I got you something that is so unique, something that is so special, something that is so awesome. How do you like your new bird, Mom? How do you like your new bird, your pet bird?" She said, "Son, thank you so much for getting me the bird. It was delicious." He said, what? She said, "Yeah, I just got finished eating it. It was so good. I put some hot sauce on it. It was just some mumbo sauce, and it was so good. Oh, my goodness." He said, Mom, please tell me you didn't eat the bird. Mom, the bird was a pet. The bird talked to you. You didn't?" She said, "Yeah, I ate the bird." He said, "Mom, I bought you this bird as a gift. I gave you this very unique and this very special gift, and you took the gift and you used it in a way that I never intended. And can I tell you today, as high school students, that Almighty God has given to humanity a gift called sex. It's a wonderful gift. It's a powerful gift. It's an amazing gift. But the problem is, we've taken that gift called sex and we have used it and abused it and are using it in ways that God never intended. We've taken the gift of sexuality. We've taken this thing called sex, and we've abused it. And we shouldn't shy away from the term sex, because it's all in the Bible. In fact, when you read the book of Genesis, you'll quickly discover that God made male and God made female. And everything God made, he said it was good, it was good, it was good. When God made Adam and Eve, he said, "This real good. This is very good." And God, in his wisdom, placed in the garden Adam and Eve, a male and a female. And God said in his wisdom to Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, not Eve and Eva. He said, "Adam and Eve, I want you to be fruitful and multiply." God did that. God did that.
And in this culture, we're trying to change what God did. God made male. God made female. God said, I want y'all to come together. I want you to be fruitful, and I want y'all to multiply. In other words, I want y'all to have sex so that you can procreate. That's the only way y'all got here. Your parents procreated. Ew. You didn't come by stork. You didn't come by immaculate conception. Your mother and your father were getting busy, baby. It's a beautiful thing. In fact, you cannot procreate any other way than Adam and Eve. You cannot procreate any other way than a male and a female. It's true in the human dimension, and it's true in the animal dimension. You need a male and female to procreate. So God says, be fruitful and multiply. I want you to procreate. So sex was about procreation. But I believe God made it as a way of communication, intimacy. As one of the highest ways that a male and female who are in marriage, somebody say marriage. Who are in marriage to each other. God and Adam, that they had a covenant together in marriage. And he said, I want y'all to do this thing. It's beautiful when you do it the way God designed it. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no deleting. There's no oops. There's no feeling bad. When a man and a woman who are married to each other are in a covenant together in the eyes of God, the Bible says the bed is undefiled. God loves to see a husband and a wife who are married together get busy with one another. It is good. It is good. But outside of that, it's never good. If you've ever been to our home, we have several fireplaces. Some of y'all on the soccer team have visited our home. We have several fireplaces in our home. And when the fireplace in the wintertime is burning with the fireplace, it feels so good. What if I said, you know what? I no longer want the fire to be inside of the fireplace. I no longer want the fire to be inside that box. I want to put the fire on the living room floor. I want to gather the logs and put it on the living room floor. I want to get closer to the fire. I want the fire to be close to the couch. I don't want it inside the box. I want it on the floor real close. As long as the fire stays inside the box, my whole home is protected. My family is protected. But whenever you take the fire outside of the box, you lose all protection. You have, some of you under the sound of my voice have taken this thing that God has given as a gift for inside the box, and you've said, I don't want to wait to get out inside the box. I'm tired of waiting until I get inside the box. I'm 14, I'm 16, I'm horny, I'm 18. I want to get outside the box. And when you take it outside the box of marriage, when you take it outside the box of marriage, there are consequences. Fire is safe in the box, not outside the box. Now, I love this passage of scripture. What Paul does is he lists four sexual sins. He warns us against four sexual sins. And he says, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in Christ, you got to take off these things. In fact, he uses a stronger word. Forget taking off. He says you got to put it to death. He says you absolutely got to get these things out of your life until you get in the box. The first thing he says, put to death, here it is, watch this. He uses four words, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire. He, at the end of it, he says, and greed. Greed is the foundation of it all. Another word for greed is covetousness. It really starts with the last word, greed. Because even before we commit any kind of sexual sin, there's covetousness associated with it. That's why one of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet. Don't covet your neighbor's house. Don't covet your neighbor's spouse. Don't covet your neighbor's crib. Don't covet your neighbor's car. Don't covet. That's not the purpose of your neighbor. That's your neighbor's wife. Get it together. The commandment teaches. So look at the first part. He says sexual immorality. Let me explain what sexual immorality is. Put it on the screen. Sexual immorality. That word, sexual immorality, comes from a Greek word. I'll email it to you if you want it. You ain't got to take notes. I'll email it to you. It comes from the word porneia. Sexual immorality comes from the Greek word porneia. Guess what word we get from porneia, the English word? Hello. So the Bible says, put to death, kill, slay, get rid of, get it out of your life. Put to death pornography. Put it to death. Delete it out of your phone. Delete it out of your phone. Put it to death. For fornication. It is a general term for sexual sin. Watch this. Any sexual activity outside of a heterosexual marriage. This is Bible, y'all. This is B-I-B-L-E. This is why everybody wants to get rid of the Bible. Because if you get rid of the Bible, now you no longer have authority. That's why people, oh, the Bible's outdated. Oh, the Bible's this. Oh, the Bible's that. What they're saying is get rid of God's word, insert man's word, and do whatever you want to do. The Bible is clear. Sexual immorality, any sexual activity outside of a heterosexual marriage, it can include premarital sex, sex before marriage, sex outside the box, adultery, extramarital sex, homosexuality, pornography, masturbating, sexual fondling, etc. Anything you do for a sexual thrill outside the box, God says, put it to death. And instead of putting things to death, we're increasing it. We ain't putting stuff to death. We're resurrecting it. Make it live. Send me a picture. Send me a nudie. Some of you boys, let me tell you something, girls. Let me tell you something, girls. The next time a boy sends you a message and says, send me breasts and legs, tell him to go to Popeye's Chicken. You want breasts? You want legs? There's Popeye's. Can't get the chicken sandwich no more. You can get some breasts and legs. Hey, sweetie, I'm thinking about you. I know it's late at night. What you got on? Text him back. The full armor of God. The helmet of salvation. I got on the breastplate. You want breasts? I got on the breastplate of righteousness. I got on a belt that's full of truth. Put it to death. And some of you girls in here, you could stop it immediately. Some of these dudes want you to be sexually immoral, and you have the power to stop it. Don't be a freak. Stop it. He wants to see you ask a bit, tell him no. Sending you no pictures, snapping you no pictures. Oh, it's going to delete in a second. And look at 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For it is God's will. Somebody say God's will. Look at what the Bible says. It is God's will that you should be, what's the H word? It's God's desire. You must abstain. Somebody say abstain.
From what?
It's God's will. It's what he wants for us. It's what pleases him. What makes him happy with his children. When we say, you know what, my father don't want me doing that. No, I'm not sleeping with you. No, you can't fondle me. No, you can't touch me. No, I'm not masturbating. Because my father says his desire is that I avoid this. And instead of avoiding sexual immorality, we're feeding into it. Some of us in this room, you have absolutely no control. You are OC. You are out of control. You are ratchet. And God says, put it to death. This is a new month. Put it to death. Forget what's happened in the past. There's mercy. There's grace. There's forgiveness. Forget what happened in the past. This is a new month. It's a new season. God, give me the grace that I need to be sexually pure. Sometimes you got to block people in your phone. You got to delete them out of your phone. You got to unfollow them on Snapchat. He says, put to death sexual immorality. Number two, he says, watch this. Go to the second one. Number two, put to death, change on the screen, impurity. So it's not just fornication. It's not just fondling. He goes deeper because God knows our hearts. Because some of y'all are like, oh, I'm not doing that. But are you impure? What is impurity? It is spiritual uncleanness. It is impure, watch this, sexual thoughts, impure sexual actions. It is unclean sexual conversation, unclean sexual joke. Okay, you might still have your virginity, praise the Lord. You might still be a V, praise the Lord. But are you impure? Because Jesus said, it's not just a matter of committing adultery. If you look at a chick in the wrong way, you've already did it in your heart. Impurity. One of the biggest things that feed our impurity are the songs that we listen to. The songs in your iPod, I would be willing to bet you a dollar that most of those songs are feeding your impurity. Are feeding the negativity in your head. The Bible says put it to death. For God, 1 Thessalonians 4:7, did not call us to be impure. That's not his will for your life. That's not why you've been created. And some of you in this room, you are so full of impurity. It's taking over your life. It's taking over your mind. That's not his purpose for your life, to spend all this time during the day thinking these impure thoughts. There's more to life than sex stuff. You gotta eat. You gotta go to school. He says, put this impurity stuff to death. Kill it. Slay it. See, when the Bible says put it to death, you can't be playing with it. Oh, it's not all that bad. Oh, it's just the text. Oh, it's just the picture. How do you know where that picture's gonna end up? What if he screenshots that picture? And now you on some website showing the world your goodies. He says, put it to death. Look at the third one. Look at the third one. This is deep. Then he says, you got to slay sexual morality. You got to kill impurity. Then you got to kill lust. Lust must always be fled, not fed. When it comes to lust, it must be fled. Run. Don't feed it. Because the more you feed your lust, the more pictures you look at, the more videos you look at, the more images you see, guess what? The more you're going to crave. That's why some of you boys can't stop masturbating. Because you keep feeding yourselves these images. You keep feeding yourselves these videos. You keep feeding yourselves these pictures. And the more you feed yourself, the more you're going to want it. So what am I supposed to do, Sean? Kill it. Slay it. Jesus said in Matthew 5, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your left hand causes you to sin, cut it off. When it comes to sexual purity, is Jesus teaching self-mutilation? No. But the message is, whatever measures you got to take to stop sinning, take the measures. Because lust, it is a strong sexual craving that distracts us from the things above. Listen, if you are a guy and you really, really like girls, that is a beautiful thing. If you are a girl, according to the scriptures, and you like dudes, that's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with liking someone, but lust is a whole different level. Young man, she's more than a body. She's more than an image. She's not some styrofoam cup that everybody drinks out of. She's fine china. And when you recognize that she's fine china, you'll stop treating her like she's a styrofoam cup to fulfill your sexual indiscretions. She's beautiful and should be treated as such. She's not been created for your self-aggrandizement. She's been created in the image of God. If you want her that bad, just say, look, after high school, I'm marrying you. Save yourself, I'm coming to get you. Let me get my money straight. I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to get you. Lust leads us to commit sexual immorality, impurity. Lust, a strong, inner, burning, emotional lure for sexual sin. This is not liking somebody. You've taken it to a whole nother level. Lust, that which leads to what is degrading, dishonorable, shameful, and vile. If you don't deal with your lust quickly, your lust will ruin your life. Your lust will ruin your life. Your lust will destroy your life. That's why in Romans 1:26, look at what lust did to men and women. In Romans 1:26, this is what lust did. This is the level it went to. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Lust got so bad, women started to say, I don't need a dude. I need another chick. That's lust. That's not how God created it. Lust got so bad, and in the same way, also men, watch this, abandoned the natural function of the woman. Oh, I don't need a chick. I don't need a woman. I don't need a girl. I don't need a female when I got Bob. The lust started to burn so bright that Bill said, I don't need Barbara, I need Bob. That's what lust does. Kill it. Look at what the word says. And burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving their own persons to do penalty under their error. Don't care what the media says. Don't care. Oh, what people did. People just love. People just love. I love my mother. I ain't lusting for her. We have confused what true biblical love is, and we've replaced it, and we've put our lust on a pedestal. And what our lusts basically are saying, I'm gonna get whatever I want, when I want, how I want, it's my lust. God gave him up. Gave him up. Look at the last one. Nobody sleeping in chapel today? The last one, evil desire. Notice the progression, sexual immorality, impurity, lust. Look at the progression. If you don't kill it, if you don't slay it, it progresses. If you don't nip it in the bud now, when you're 14 and 16 and 18, you're going to be in your 30s still dealing with the lust demon. Kill it now. Get free now. Some of you dudes are so addicted to porn, you can't even focus. You can't even go an hour without downloading some kind of image. You got to get help, because it goes to evil desire, which is a step above lust. Evil desire, sexual cravings that are completely now out of control. You are completely OC. You are completely ratchet. When I see stories of these men molesting little girls, you know that the lust has become evil desire. I read an article yesterday. A middle school secretary at a middle school sent images, videos of herself to a 14-year-old in the same school. Evil desire had become so bad, it makes you stupid. When you give in to evil desires, it goes to a completely different level. Now it's become a part of your character. Now it's become a part of the fabric of your life. It started with sexual immorality. Are you listening to me? Whenever you have, let me show you how strong this is. Just duct tape. This is. Boy meets girl. Girl meets boy. They like each other. How you doing? Want to come to my soccer game? Want to come watch me play volleyball? Oh, yeah. They get involved with sexual immorality. And Chris Brown has helped them. I just want to see you strip right now, cause I'm full of love. I just want this lust. I'm full of lust and I can't control myself. That's why all my songs Fetty Wap ain't saying nothing about Jesus. Cardi B is not drawing you closer to God. They give in. And she says, I don't want this no more. He said, I don't want that. We shouldn't do this. Let's split up. Oh, you can split up. But guess what, son? You forever have a part of her. Forever. I don't care how much you read the Bible, how much you go to church, how much you pray to Jesus. She's with you forever. When you walk down the aisle for your wedding day, every sexual partner that you've had
Every sexual image that you've had in your mind, they walk down the aisle with you. Guess what, daughter? You forever have a part of him. And can you imagine having this experience with multiple people, multiple images? It's no wonder that so many people are in counseling now because they can't even connect sexually. He 25 and in counseling and can't even connect because he got all these different partners. Put the verse back up. I'm done. This verse should be saved on your phone screen. You need to post this verse on your Snapchat. This verse should be tweeted. These verses should be tweeted. Now, let me be clear. If you have messed up, if you have failed, if you have fallen, I'm not here to beat you up. I came today to warn you and to remind you that even if you failed, even if you've fallen, even if you've given in, there's grace, there's mercy. The very essence of what we call the gospel has everything to do with the F word called forgiveness. God is willing to forgive you. There was a lady who was involved in sexual sin in the Bible. They brought her to Jesus. What are you going to say to her? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and cut off the immorality. Cut off the lust. I forgive you. I love you. You're still my child. Go start developing some new habits. Start adjusting to God's truth and not the world's truth. Say, you know what? I can't listen to this dude no more. I got to drop this out of my playlist. Say, God, give me mercy. In fact, I want you to bow your heads this morning. I want you to bow your heads. There's forgiveness. There's mercy. The scripture says, because of these sexual sins, God's wrath is coming. As your heads are bowed, you don't want to be a part of God's wrath. You want to be a part of his mercy. And that's available to you today on October the 2nd. New month. It's a new season. God wants to give you his mercy, his love, his grace, his forgiveness. Would you receive it? Just say, God, I receive your forgiveness today. I receive your mercy today. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a fresh start. Help me to be holy. Help me to live for you. Say it right now. God, give me self-control. God, help me to be pure. God, help me to do your will. Help me to follow your will. Help me to be good and righteous like Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every high school student under the sound of my voice. I thank you for this chapel service. I thank you for the privilege to speak truth, for the privilege to speak your word. I pray that no one leaves this place thinking that Pastor McBride came up with these words. May they hear your voice today. May they hear your voice and respond in submission and respond in obedience. Forgive us. Be merciful to us. Be gracious to us. Help us to do your will all the days of our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All of God's children said, amen. God bless you, everybody. God bless you. Appreciate you being here.